So I enter a very dark time and I was very depressed. And whenever people say, how did you get so depressed just because you didn't get the diploma? It's not about the diploma itself. No. It's that literally like my entire life dream was being lived. And then they took it away just like that, just because they didn't like something.
You are listening to Making It in the Toy Industry, episode number 151.
Welcome to Making It in the Toy Industry, a podcast for inventors and entrepreneurs like you. And now your host, Ajelle Wade.
Hey there, toy people. Ajelle Wade here, and welcome back to another episode of the Toy Coach Podcast, Making It in the Toy Industry. This is a weekly podcast brought to you by thetoycoach.com. You are in for a special treat today, my friends, because we are doing the first ever live broadcast of an episode of Making It in the Toy Industry. And today's guest is Marjorie Spitalnick. Marjorie Spitalnick is the founder and CEO of Little Rebels. She's also a single mom of an outstanding 15-year-old daughter. And after spending over 20 years working in marketing and advertising, MJ noticed something in her daughter's textbooks that changed the course of her life. She noticed she wasn't being taught about the achievements of women and only men. So determined to show her daughter how powerful women have also impacted history, she created an augmented reality plush line that would do just that. Marjorie is an alumni of the Young Leaders of America's Initiative, a program that's created by the U.S. State Department. She has a master's degree in entrepreneurship for kids and youth. She's currently an alumni of the ECLA program of Columbia Business School and a TEDx speaker. But today, she's most known as the founder and CEO of Little Rebels. Little Rebels has been exploding on the scene lately, but it hasn't all been fun and games. And this actually wasn't the first toy line that MJ ever started. So today, we're going to talk about an important topic, mental health as a toy creator. I'm so honored and excited to welcome Marjorie Spitalnick to the show. Hi, Marjorie.
Wow. Hey, how are you? That was quite of an intro.
Well, you're quite a person. Welcome to the show. I've literally had so many incredible conversations and interviews with you where I'm like, I need to be recording this. I need to upload this. And honestly, it just never felt great having like an afterthought of an interview. So I'm glad we're able to do this right. Do this the right way. So let's get started. Yeah.
I'm excited because actually my very first interview regarding Little Rebels was with you.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, it was amazing. Yes, you can listen to that earlier on my podcast. I think it was like episode 7 or 11, I feel like. Something like
that. Yeah, it was my first episodes, I remember. And I remember perfect like where I was, what I was doing. It was like, that's
well, don't
stay with me for
life. Don't give away all the good stuff to the story. I have a plan for how we're going to unveil this, okay? So, first question I have for you is, tell me a little bit about your daughter, because she inspired not only this line, but another line of yours. And I want you to tell me a little bit about that first line she inspired.
So, my daughter's name is Luana. She goes for Lulu. And Lulu has always been my inspiration for absolutely everything I do in my life. I'm a single mom, so our relationship is pretty close. And she's super creative and fun and always that sparky little girl. And when she was around, I think she was 5 years old, she came to me with a drawing and she asked me to turn that drawing into something real. And my first reaction was actually to do something digital, like as I was in advertising by these years, and I was like, let's date a character or something. And then I don't know what happened. At some point I said, no, you know what? I don't want her in front of a screen. Like, I need her to be playing with something more tangible. So I went online and I looked for very talented seamstresses and asked them for their help and say, hey, I have this insane idea. Can we try and do this? So I found one. We did the exact same plush as the exact same drawing. Like, without, I remember she wrote, I love you. And the Y was backwards. And when we did a plush, we actually put the Y backwards. So it looked exactly like her drawing.
Oh.
And then when I gave it to her and I saw her face and like how amazed she was that something that was in her head actually turned into something real, I said, okay, so this is the feeling that I want to feel for the rest of my life. Like, this is what I want to do. I want to this reaction in every single kid. So I posted on Facebook and it went viral. And then before I knew it, people were calling me and asking me to make plushies for their kids. And that's actually how I started what it was, Te Dibujo, which in Spanish means, I'll draw you. And before I knew it, that's how I entered the toy industry, which was insane. You mentioned the U.S. State Department program, like ex-President Obama launched a program in which he selected 250 entrepreneurs from all over Latin America and the Caribbean. And they sent us like a month and a half in the U.S. to be trained by high-end CEOs, like Richard Branson was one of our mentors.
Crazy.
So you get it. It was insane.
Crazy.
And I was actually selected thanks to that endeavor. And I spent 6 years working with the Yuho.
So talk to me about this. I believe that this is the same. And at the end of this program, you were going to get a degree, correct? Is that right?
No, that was after, actually. So,
okay.
I started the business. It was 2014. Then I got selected by the Obama program in 2016. Then 2018, saw the opportunity. There was a program that was a master degrees at Columbia University.
Okay.
So my entire life, I dreamed of going into an Ivy League university. And since I'm from Latin America, for me, it was like that big dream that's never going to happen. I never thought that I could do that as a growing up. So I was around 30-something by that time. I don't want to do the math here. And so I applied and I won a scholarship thanks to the IUCO to be able to actually do that master's degrees at Columbia.
Yeah.
And that's how I got in. So, and that's the degree that you're talking about. So mid-program, and I don't know if you want me to keep going with the
keep
story.
Keep going. No, keep going. I know where the story is going, and it's good. Let's go.
So the program were, there were 2 years program, and you're supposed to work on your endeavor and make it scalable and grow on sales. And like all the masters were focused on your endeavor. So I entered the program with the Yuko, which was my previous endeavor. And then mid program, it was half virtual and half on site at Columbia University as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was around August 2018. I want to say 2018, I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in Uruguay and I was supposed to fly to New York. And then the day before I fly, a local reporter called me to do like an article on entrepreneurs that are no longer in business.
Right.
And I was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, I'm still in business.
And for everyone listening, this focus is on Te Dibujo. Like, she was creating Te Dibujo at the time and working on it while she was in this program in Colombia. So then this reporter, for some reason, thought this brand was out of business. Okay, go on.
Exactly. I don't know why. And I was like, wait, who told you that? Like, not only I'm still in business, I'm still selling my plushes, but FYI, like, I just won a scholarship to Columbia to do this. And then we were talking and I said, on a side, and this is off the record, by the way, I want to share with you an idea that I'm working on. So by that time, I started thinking about Little Rebel. That was something that was around on the back of my head. And I started like doing my research. And I only had like one picture. I didn't even have the sample with me. I just had like the picture of the doll the factory sent me.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it to her. And I was like, just so you know, this is what's coming up. But it's like not something real for now, okay? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, perfect. Conversation's over. Jump in a plane, go to New York. By the time I turn on my phone, once I land in New York, I had like a gazillion messages. One of them was from the State Department. And they were like, we just saw the article on the newspaper. We were wondering if we could tweet about it. Do you have enough inventory?
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
And I was like, and I was like, wait, what? Like, I do one plush per drawing.
Because that's what Te Dibujo was. It was one plush. Yeah.
Drawings. So yeah. I never had inventory with the Ivoco. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I don't need inventory. So then I started scrolling down the messages. And the article that was supposed to be like entrepreneurs that failed turned out to be an entire page from the newspaper saying Uruguayan entrepreneur launches a line of doll inspired in iconic historic women.
Oh,
and
my
the picture that I
sent
her. Oh. Actually, it was the front page of the newspaper. I will never forget that. And I was like, okay, how do I do this? So I got to New York and I must have given, I don't know, I don't want to lie, but 15 interviews to several like local medias talking about something that literally did and not exist.
Right.
Like they were like, when are you going to get the dolls in Uruguay? When can we get them here? How can we purchase them? And I was like, well, they're coming back like from 6 months from now, you have them. And there was something that literally did not exist. I cannot emphasize enough that.
Oh my gosh.
So I went to the director of the program at Columbia and I was like, hey, this is what's happening. Like, I know I enter with the ebook, but the truth is it's been 6 years already. It's not scalable. It's like one drawing, one plush. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to scale. Mm-hmm. If you don't have like a big investment behind that, you have your own factory. It's not going to be easy. On the other hand, this is happening. Like, I just shared this and I gave all these interviews. I have all these orders on something that does not exist. Mm-hmm. Like, can I start my dissertation and end my degree with Little Rebels instead of the UFO?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, sure, you can go ahead. Mm-hmm. So he gave me like the best mentors to work on me in this. And one of them was the ex-CEO of Natura. Natura is a very known beauty brand in Brazil, like very famous. So he was working with me. Then Bogdorf, he's like an amazing entrepreneur and mentor. Like I had this entire team on Colombia working to develop Little Rebels business plan and to make it real.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I, it was insane.
Wow.
I came back to Uruguay. We kept working. Then in November 2018, we are supposed to graduate January 2019. So in November, we had a call to check on everything and how is it going. And I was super hyped. I was like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. Like, I just land that deal with Malala Fund. We can have Malala and we have Amelia and we have Marie Curie. And I was like super excited sharing all those amazing news with them. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me and I cannot curse here, right?
No.
And I need to take care of my language. Okay. No.
Nope.
I'm trying to be.
Oh, I know what you want to say, because I almost said the same thing in my email that went out today, because I was going to quote you.
It was like actually what he said to me. So I'm gonna try to figure out.
We could just bleep it. We'll bleep it.
Yeah, we'll. So this is bleep.
This is garbage, basically.
Exactly.
Garbage that goes in the toilet.
Nobody.
Right.
Nobody's gonna buy. Stop it. You're making me laugh. I cannot even.
Sorry. Sure.
So this is garbage. Nobody's ever gonna buy these dolls. Not even the name is original. Like, I hate this. If you don't come in January with your dibujo, that's original, what you enter the program with, you are not gonna get your diploma. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, we just had this conversation like 3 months ago and you put the entire team to work with me. Well, long story short, after several screaming, yelling, crying, and all the proper things, I said, okay, so he wants Teddy Wolf. I knew Teddy Wolf wasn't something that I was going to pursue.
Right.
But I knew that I needed to show him Teddy Wolf. So I did like this amazing PowerPoint presentation on what Teddy Wolf would look like if we had like a lot of money and investors and all the potential that he had.
Yeah.
And kept working in silent on Little Rebels. So January came, I flew to New York, I pitched everything I've done, I did my dissertation. An hour before the graduation ceremony came, he called me into his office. And he was like, you know what, I've been thinking a lot of this, and you were one of our top students, but you're not going to get your diploma.
I was like, oh my God.
What? What do you mean? Yeah, no, unfortunately, Teddy Wuko did not meet the standards that we're looking for, and we cannot afford to have Teddy Wuko's logo on our page.
That's what he said.
So you're not getting, So you're not getting your diploma. And I was like, wait, I don't understand. I'm the one graduating, not Teddy Wuko. And I was like, not only I showed you what Teddy Wuko could have been with money, but I also created on a side like an entire different company from scratch. Like, I think I deserve that. And he was like, no, that's not going to happen. And I remember, Ajala, I'll never forget that. Like, my biggest dream was, and this is so silly, especially now that I look back, but like, I grew up with that, the fantasy of having like the, I don't know how to call the little hat, that you guys use on your graduation.
Oh, the graduation cap. Just a graduation cap. Oh, the tassel?
Everything. I always dream of like going like this and throwing the hat in the air and all those kind of things that you guys do. And I went to the ceremony because of all my, like, my friends were graduating. We were friends by that time already. So I remember I was crying my eyes out. I entered the room. That was my little hat over there that I was not going to wear. And I saw everybody got the diploma and I came back without my diploma.
Wait, when I was writing your bio, we were talking right before this, that you were like, well, I don't know if I'm technically an alumni.
Well, I am, because one of the things they told me is that you actually, like, which is, it doesn't make any sense. It was like, you graduated, but you didn't, but I still don't have the diploma, so it doesn't make sense.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So
I will get that diploma, though.
So, okay, it's a heartbreaking story. I remember the first time you told it, we were in Vegas at Licensing Expo, and my mouth was just, like, on the floor.
Yeah.
Do you wish now, when you think back at this story, that you didn't go back and do Teddy Buho like he wanted you to, that you just kept and pitched Little Rebels at the end?
I did pitch Little Rebels once I was done with the Buho. I said, also, by the way, I also did this. I think that's actually what pissed him off the most. That I kept going, even if he said no. I think that was like just his breaking point. Because I did pitch the Iwoku, and at the end I was like, if I have 3 more minutes, I would like to share with you something else that I was working on.
Yeah.
And I pitched Little Rebels and everything that I did with Little Rebels in those malls. And I'm pretty sure that for his ego or something.
Yeah.
That's why he came back without the diploma.
I am so sorry. That is so, it's just so unjust. It's like, and the fact that he even has that kind of power, just one person, I mean, I guess he's probably, there might have been a committee that trusted his decision, but how, so
I have no idea.
So since I do want to focus on mental health, and if this lines up to when we met, please let me know. But after this happened, where were you emotionally? You watching your friends graduate? What happened?
So that was January 2019. I came back home completely broken. And it was like, people might say, like, this is a silly thing. Why did you get so depressed? Like, I got really depressed. I spent the following 3 months lying on a couch. I wouldn't even stand up to take a bath. Like, the only thing that took me off the couch was my daughter, and that I had to feed her. And that was it. Like, I went, I give her the food, and then I was back in the couch. So I enter a very dark time, and I was very depressed. So depressed that, like, regular therapy didn't work. I had to go to a hypnosis therapist to be able to actually leave the trance that I was in. Because medications weren't working and regular therapy wasn't working. And whenever people say, how did you get so depressed just because you didn't get the diploma? It's not about the diploma itself. No. Uh-uh. It's that literally, like, my entire life dream was being lived. And then they took it away just like that, just because they didn't like something. Because it was justified, you know?
And so being an entrepreneur is such a roller coaster when, first you're about to be interviewed for being failed for the thing that you're developing the most. Then you're suddenly hailed for something you haven't even started. And then you're suddenly like on this upward trajectory of everyone loves this thing I haven't even started. I better start it. And then suddenly you're just punished for all of it almost. Yes. So I can totally see it's not about the diploma. It's the fact that you went through all of this and then somebody wanted to just like kick you while you were up to the point of, you know, destruction. So I understand that.
Yeah. And I lost completely faith in myself and what I was doing. Like, I didn't believe I was capable of doing anything, actually, because I was like, what's the point if I build all of this in like a few months for nothing? Because that's what I was mentally in at that time. Why should I keep going? Like, I don't want to keep going anymore.
And what we have to remind ourselves is you built all of that in a few months. That's like what you should...
from August to November.
But it's like
the foundations of Little Rebels were 3 months work, something like that.
And that's a thing, like for some people that are high achievers, we tell ourselves a story of like, oh my God, I'm garbage. I can't believe I built this thing and then it all just fell apart. And you're like, but we forget to tell ourselves like, I built this thing in 3 months. I built something in the first place. Like people don't normally do that.
Well, imposter syndrome is something that still, I'm very attached to it. It became my very best friend, actually. So I'm struggling to make that go away. And I'm not quite sure, actually, how I got out that place, to be honest. Like, I do remember a few things that happened that were pretty awesome. So this hypnosis therapist, he used to force me to go. Like, I have 4 dogs. I love dogs. They're like my passion. And he used to, and then just FYI, in case you hear one, like I have 4. So he used to force me to go around the block with one of my dogs. And it was like, you have 4. So just grab one, go around the block. Just one per time. So it's 4 times that you're going around the block because you have 4 different dogs throughout the day. And just do that. And it seems silly, but going outside around the block shaped my mindset. And I remember I was lying on the couch once again, scrolling on Facebook. And I see this, I think it was an ad from Women in Toys saying, hey, do you have like a toy idea? Would you like to present it? Like, we'll have Hasbro, Mattel, Walmart. And I was like, yeah, what the hell? So I apply, completely sure that there was no chance I was going to get selected. Mm-hmm. I used to apply to a bunch of things. By the way, that's how I got selected with Obama also, with an ad on Facebook.
Oh my God.
I own a lot to be.
don't say that too loud. Mark Zuckerberg will be like, great, pay up.
Corey. You're right. I didn't say that. So I applied and I got selected to go to Dallas in October 2019 and to the Women Empowerment Day and to pitch all these amazing companies, Hasbro, Goliath. I don't know. I pitched something around 7-8 companies, which was amazing. And about that time, the only thing that I had were the 4 doll samples. Like the app didn't exist. None of the educational content that we have today existed. So I went there. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? I had no idea. I never pitched. I never had to pitch my idea to anybody before.
Yeah.
And then they were like, what's your elevator pitch? And I was literally thinking about an elevator. Like there was a lot of things that I had no idea how to do it.
Oh my gosh. I never
had to do it. So I came up with like these booklets where I used to tell the entire story and I had my meetings. And then I got the most amazing feedback from every single one of them. And there's especially, I never know how to pronounce his last name. So if he's listening, please don't hate me. Hotchenberg?
Adam Hockerman?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so bad at his last name. So Adam.
I think he's at Fat Brain now. I don't know if he's aware of this. But he was at Play Monster then, I think.
He was at Play Monster at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if he knows this. He gave me the most amazing feedback. And his feedback was the reason why I added an app to the plushies. So
and your app is like, good. It's real good.
I was like, I love your dolls. Those are amazing. I think it's a super necessary product. Like, do they come with a book? Do they come with a booklet or something that tells me who they are? Because they're cute. You can look at them at the shelves and they are cute, but we need to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So at Dallas, I met with Jacinto. Jacinto, he's an Argentinian. He's the developer of our app. And I was like, you know what, Hasi? I noticed that I need to add content into my dolls because nobody knows who they are. I don't want a book. Mm-hmm. I remember by that time, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls and all those kind of books were kind of in the rise. So I didn't want to compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Hasi said, wow, well, let's create the app together. So we literally started working on the app at Dallas. And 3 months later, we had the app up and running.
You met him at Dallas?
No, I knew him already, but we saw each other at Dallas. We ran out to each other in Dallas.
Oh, wow.
And we started working on the app while in Dallas.
Wow.
And then...
You don't waste any time.
I meant... No, I don't. I'm super anxious.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I met at Dallas. I met the amazing Amanda Gomer.
Mm-hmm.
She is, nowadays, she's a very close friend, but at the time she was like kind of my godmother fairy tale star. I don't know how to put her, like she was a lifesaver.
Yeah.
So she also gave me amazing feedback on how to promote it and how to make it like kid likable. I don't know how to be a, like a real,
toy.
Real toy.
Yeah.
And then we work on the app, and I think it was, March 8, 2020, I launched the Kickstarter campaign. And that's when we met, actually.
Oh, yeah.
To raise the funds and produce the first batch of dolls.
Mm-hmm.
That was March 8. March 13, the pandemic was declared.
Right.
And of course, well, I would never have been busy.
Right.
And of course, everybody was concerned about buying toilet paper and frozen pizza. Nobody was actually looking to back a doll on Kickstarter. So that campaign was extremely hard. And I had no idea what I was doing, like, to be honest.
And you started, you didn't,
me.
Yeah, you launched it and you didn't have like a pre-launch runway. You didn't have anything. Yeah.
Nothing. I had absolutely, like, everything I know about Kickstarter, I learned after my Kickstarter was over already. Like, I had no idea what I was doing.
So wait, I want to say, talking about Facebook, the reason I found Marjorie and knew her Kickstarter was going on and wanted to bring her on my podcast to talk about Little Rebels is because she posted on Facebook, and she posted a lot. She posted on LinkedIn. So I saw it the first time, and honestly, I don't know what it was about it. I think your personality came through in your post, not in a, I want to be friends with her kind of way, but just in a genuine, like, I'm a parent that's making something that I think is important, support me here kind of way. And in a, this is somebody, you felt very, like, you weren't going to give up. Like, you felt like a very strong, you're here to stay person. So it made me say, well, I do need someone to come talk about Kickstarter. Let's see how she's doing with her Kickstarter. And you did. You fully funded your Kickstarter, even though you started late you had no experience. Yeah. So how much was your Kickstarter? Do you remember? Was it 9,000?
Yeah, 10K.
$10,000.
Okay. And I remember I raised the last $4,000 in the last 48 hours of campaign.
What? How?
Which was insane.
Yeah. How?
Well, I don't even know. No, I don't know, honestly. We did some partnership with other Kickstarter campaigns that were going on. So we started giving each other shout-outs from one page to the other, and that seemed to work a lot. And then I don't know what happened. Like, seriously, I don't know what happened. But like the last 48 hours were like, I remember being on the computer and seeing like the numbers going up and up and up and up and up. It was like, oh my God, is this going to stop? I actually raised more money. I raised $12,000. I was asking for $10,000.
So wait, let's pause, because we skipped over something important, especially for our mental health conversation. It sounds like your journey kind of went like a sudden spike when you got that unknown coverage, and then a fall when you didn't get your diploma. And it sounds like it went back up as you went to Dallas. But that wasn't the case, because you actually got great feedback at Dallas, but you actually got something that sent you into another spiral. And what was that?
Yeah, thank you for that. I almost forgot that. And that was like one of the best feelings I had a few months later. So I was at Dallas, and there I was, super happy with my dolls, like just walking around, showing them off. And then I was outside, and this man, and I still don't know his name, he approached me, and you could tell that he was like an industry veteran. Like he had a few working in the toy industry. He was like the typical guy that I know it all. He was like, show me what you've got. And I was like, oh, I have this. All innocent. I have these dolls and they did this and everything. And another, like, once again, this is bleep. Like, nobody's going to buy this. Like, don't even put an effort on this. You're going to have them on the shelf next to Elsa, next to Anna, and no kid's going to want these dolls. Like, don't even go there. And I looked at him with a confidence that I did not have at the time. And I said, you know what? I bet you a lunch that by Dallas next year, Little Rebels is going to be a huge deal, and you're going to be hurting a lot of us, and you're going to like regret your comments. And he was like, okay, you're on. So the following year, we won the taggies.
Oh my god!
And we got finalist for the Toadies with Baby cry. Yoda itself.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And and I went on LinkedIn, which is, by the way, my preferred social network.
Yeah.
And I built my entire business thanks to LinkedIn. So I'm super grateful for that. And did you hear that, LinkedIn? And then... So I went on LinkedIn and I shared this story about this woman, this man. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't even remember your name, but you owe me a lunch. If you're reading this, you owe me a lunch. Then the post went viral. Like more than 60,000 people saw that post. And they started commenting and everything. And among all the comments, here shows up the man saying, oh, you know what? I'm the guy. I do owe you a lunch.
I love that he came forward with it. He was
love that he came forward also, because he could just saw that and shut up and never said anything.
Yeah.
Like just, I didn't thank him. I didn't knew his name. So yeah. He could just go through it without saying anything, but he came through and I was like, okay, so we'll meet you at Dallas 2020. Of course, that did not happen because the pandemic hit.
And hold on.
So he still owes me a lunch.
Somebody in the chat wanted to know about the Dallas conference. Dallas doesn't happen anymore. Now New York Toy Fair was moved from February to September. So now New York Toy Fair is going to be in September. There will be no Dallas. But specifically the event Marjorie's talking about is the Women in Toys Empowerment Day, which will still happen. We're not sure when they're going to move it to. I actually did I worked with them for their last Women Empowerment Day and did a pitch series. So look for Women in Toys Empowerment Day. You can look on my website. We did a podcast episode all about Women Empowerment Day. So yeah, check that out.
It's truly worth it.
Yeah.
The entire WIT community is amazing. So if you have the chance and you're a woman founder, please join. It's you won't regret it.
Yeah. And you blew his spot up on LinkedIn and and now your entrepreneurial roller coaster is back on the rise. And it was. And then you kept on, you did your Kickstarter, you started funding your product. And today, like, just, I don't want to ruin it for everybody. Tell everybody like where they can find Little Rebels.
So it's insane. As we speak, my dolls are being shipped to Macy's, which is insane.
Yeah.
So nowadays we are on Walmart.com. We're on Jane.com. We are at our very own website, which is wearelittlerebels.com. And we just signed two new rebels, who are Gladys B. West and Gitanjali Rao. And we have a crowdfunding campaign to raise funds to be able to produce them. Because, again, everything we've done with Little Rebels has been 100% bootstrap with no investors behind. We are just now looking for investors and partnerships to be able to keep growing, because the demand is growing so fast. And I'm like, one of my biggest fears is not being able to actually fulfill the demand. I think that's like
everybody,
most entrepreneurs' biggest fears. So if you're listening to the podcast and you can, and you want to buy your Little Rebel, just go buy it from our crowdfunding campaign.
Yes. Oh yeah. And let me share the crowdfunding campaign. Here we go. Empowering girls $1
at a time. In 2 weeks. Yeah, you have all our story there and you have the link on how... That's my daughter. Well, for the people that are listening to this...
Or watching. Yeah, so, for the people listening, you can't see.
You can't see. But, well, I want to pause here real quick because you're talking about mental health in the toy industry while we grow our business and everything. And that's something important I want to highlight. So by the time I started Little Rebels, my daughter was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, anxiety, and depression. And she had the hardest 2 years of her life. Like, she was actually hurting herself. I was, at the moment, living with my ex-boyfriend. I dropped everything, and I moved out with my daughter just to focus on my daughter. So the first 2 years of Little Rebels, we were also trying to figure it out how to help her get better. Mm-hmm. So nowadays, I can speak without crying because she's doing so much better and she's so happy and she's like, she has her new group of friends and everything. But she's the reason, one of the reasons why I'm always so advocating for mental health and taking the time to actually notice what's going on with you. Because like, we had no idea she had all this disorder, and the pandemic just made it clearer. Like, I always thought she was in the autistic spectrum, but I had no idea how to diagnose her. And she went so down the road. Like she was so bad at the point that I lost my hope. And it was very hard to actually pull out Little Rebels while trying to have my daughter living the suicidal thoughts apart from her.
And yeah, I don't know how you do amazing. Oh my gosh. I don't know how you did it. I really
you
don't.
Just keep going. Look at her face. You just keep going.
She's this amazing. I'm here.
You're there. After we met at Dallas, because I was able to exhibit at Dallas for the first time, which was super fulfilling. Is that the word?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the word. But after studying my journey at Dallas, being able to actually exhibit at Dallas was like super rewarding. That's the word. Mm-hmm. And then after Dallas, I flew to Denver to meet with our rebel because she's alive. She's a 16-year-old scientist. And I was able to actually give her
daughter. She's a scientist?
Her doll. She's an aspiring scientist. She just invented...
Oh, an aspiring scientist. Okay.
She invented, I don't know how to say it, like something that detects lead in water.
Are you serious?
And she won... Yeah. She won the Earth Prize and she gives workshops on MIT. Like, she's a badass.
How do you pronounce her first name?
Gitanjali.
Gitanjali.
Gitanjali. No worry. Gitanjali. I spent 3 months trying to learn it.
Oh, my gosh.
You're doing
wow. So and I am so impressed with the people that you get to sign on with your brand. It's just incredible. And we have another one coming soon.
I'm super excited as
we
well.
We have another one soon. You have a couple in the works, but we might have gotten one today.
I do.
So
yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So, this is like the truth is Little Rebels has been like, I think the reason why I kept going is the passion behind it. And why am I doing this? Like, without my why, I wouldn't be able to keep going for sure. And my why is so much more than myself.
Yeah.
And like the people that surround me, like my why is to make sure every little girl around the world knows she can be whatever she wants to be.
So that's a great conversation. Like the why, everyone says like, you've got to have your why. And I believe why is important. But as somebody who also goes through the entrepreneurial roller coaster and just says, you know what, I'm just going to get off. Like, why am I on this roller coaster? How do you stay sure that your why is worth it? You know, like for me, I have a page on my website that has a bunch of testimonials. And as much as it is for people out there to see that students love my program, it's also for me to go back to and remind myself, like, this is why you do this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so what do you do to remind yourself that your why is working, that it's worth it? You know, what helps you do that?
So one of my favorite things is when parents share with me pictures of their kids with their rebels.
Yes.
And what's happening more and more is that our rebels are replacing their lifetime dolls. So they're starting to sleep with our rebels and they're starting to dress like their rebels. And there's a lot of boys playing with our rebels.
Oh.
So whenever they send us those pictures, I save them and I have a folder that it's literally called like Little Rebels. So whenever I'm feeling down and I want to give up, I just go on like that one.
It's so cute.
So I just go on. So that picture actually was sent by a mom that she was super hyped because she had like the vest and the head and all the goggles from Amelia. And she was like, she literally built a plane out of a carton box and she's been playing on that plane like for hours. Like, this is the best gift she ever had.
Okay.
I was like, can I use that picture?
Well, hold on. Okay, so for anyone listening to the episode after we air from the live, go to wearelittlerebels.com to see what we're talking about, the photo that Marjorie's describing.
The picture, yes.
But now, and this is where I wanted to go next. Like, have you noticed a change in what little girls perceive themselves to be able to be? Because had I had a doll that told me I could be a pilot, I think I would have probably tried to be a pilot. I don't know if it would have been one. But it for me now as an adult, I'm like, what a cool career. Why would I not try that? I never thought of myself in that way. But you're making a product that lets little girls think of themselves in that way. And now I'm knowing we have to address why they're little girl versions of the characters, too. Okay. So we have a two-part question.
As well.
First part question is, Do you see a change either in your daughter or your customers who say, this doll literally is inspiring my daughter to do something different?
Yes.
Yeah.
Completely. Fun fact. Regarding my daughter, she always wanted to be a porter.
Oh.
And the last year, she wanted to graduate from Harvard, actually, and be a reporter from the New York Times. So if anybody's listening, just reach out. But now, which is amazing, is that she wants to be a marine biologist.
Oh.
And part of that is because she's been looking for rebels with me. So we're launching soon. We're partnering with another amazing toy company that it's called Sure Buddies, that they make plushes out of recycled plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So by next year, we're going to launch our Little Rebels also done with recycled plastic. And we're going to start it with Sylvia Earle. So
awesome.
Lulu actually helped me look for a lot of information on her. And she was like, oh my God, I want to become a marine biologist instead. And I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. Like, you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
And then parents share with me all the time that, like, their kids, after seeing not only playing with the dolls, but also knowing their story through our app and the
through
video
the app.
Have,
yeah.
Especially through the app, though, like they go on the videos a lot. So, and they were like, oh my God, like my daughter right now, like there's one of them that there are two that I love. One of them, I actually shared on my LinkedIn a video. Her name is Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dressed as a little scientist with her Marie Curie right next to it. So she and her parents, they keep doing these experiments. So I'm pretty sure she'll grow up to become a scientist.
You
like,
see, I love this.
That's amazing.
But okay, now
then
we have
there's
to...
there's another one.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say there's another one that's a huge fan of Mary Jackson. So her last birthday party was all set up as NASA theme and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she printed out all the drawings that we have in our app so kids could actually draw them. And she dressed up as Mary Jackson for her birthday.
Oh my God.
So that's amazing, like how they can relate to it. And
I know.
To answer your second question.
Wait, we were working together. So I'm looking for, as we're talking, a video that I did of your app. So I'll try to pull that up onto the screen next.
Yeah.
And yeah, to my second question, why are the dolls? Because they are little, they're called Little Rebels. They're designed after iconic real women in history, but they are intentionally designed to look like little girls. And there's a reason behind that. What's that reason?
Yes. So the idea with Little Rebels is not only to empower girls to grow up and become what they can be, but also to relate to them and to understand that Mary Jackson, Amelia, Marie Curie, they were also kids at some point, and they were also dreaming of becoming scientists or whatever. So their faces, when you look at them, those big eyes and that look alike, they were designed using their pictures when they were kids. Because we really want kids to relate to the dolls and not see them as adults. Like, it's easy to make a doll looking as Marie Curie when she was an adult. It's a real challenge to be able to actually make a Marie Curie look as a kid. And I think that's why they loved it the most, because they look like princesses at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're cute and their faces, it's kind of like a Disney princess lookalike.
Yeah.
And they also look like kids, which is, for me, the most important thing. Like, and I think that in the design process, my biggest struggle was to make sure they understood their faces needed to look like kids. So that's what I emphasize the most.
And I love that. It's so smart. I didn't even think about that as a reason. But now, since we talked about your app so much, I'm happy to bring it up on screen. Are you seeing it here? All right, perfect.
Yeah,
it's black, but here we go. Okay, so I want to just describe this app real quick. Like, the Little Rebels app is in place of a book for eco-friendly reasons, not only just she didn't want to compete with other rebel books that were out, but it was also just, we don't need more paper. Is it necessary? Kids are on their phones anyway. So Marjorie and her partner created this app that you can actually scan a Little Rebels doll with your phone, and it will pull up the right Little Rebels profile in the app. And there are games and books to read about them in it. So I have a little video here that will show the inner workings of the app. So let's hit play.
That's amazing.
See.
I couldn't hear it. Yeah, we do have. So for those that are just listening to the podcast and are not seeing the app, so you can download the app if you don't have the doll and you have access to the videos, which are also available on YouTube, because the idea is to share their message. But if you have the doll, oh, this is so cute. Yeah. And you scan their faces, because like it works with face recognition, then it's going to give you access to ebooks, trivia.
I think you need to trademark and, like, this to like not and, face recognition, like plush recognition or something.
Plush recognition. Oh, I like that.
Trademark that.
I'm in trademarking right now. As we speak, opening the copyright.
Yeah.
And then my favorite feature of all is definitely the augmented reality part of it. You get to have the 3D of your doll, like saying hi and waving and everything. And we're now working on adding AI to it. So kids can actually talk to the 3D and directly ask like, hey, Marie, how did you came up with the radium? And then like the 3D will answer. It also makes sense. It also makes sense because we're developing the TV show. We've been having conversations with Disney Plus Latam for over 6 months now. So we started producing our animated TV series, and it will also interact with the app. So it's pretty cool.
This app is amazing. If you're listening, I'm sorry. I will upload the video. Actually, no, the video's already live. It's going to be uploaded on YouTube. So go to the youtube.com/thetoycoder.
If you go to Little Rebels, the YouTube from Little Rebels, which is
channel/little.
Yeah, you can see how the app works. And you also have access to all the videos of all the Rebels.
Everything is
in three different languages.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trivia to make sure they understood actually what they saw.
Yeah, so that was beautiful. I mean, I love your app is so well done. It's got trivia baked in, facial recognition, and I didn't have a video of the 3D doll in the real world because I didn't want to show my apartment. So that's why that wasn't really.
But
in
you
there.
Have it. You have it on YouTube.
Yeah,
if you go, you have. I'm gonna say hi there.
Like, we'll add all the links in the show notes so we can get some insights. Okay, let's wrap up this incredible interview today. I want to ask you my closing questions. Hold on. Let me just check the audience questions.
Sure.
We haven't seen your comments come in. So I want to say hello to Karen and Jasmine and AC, who I know had to leave early. Carla did have a quick question, and so did Joanna and Erica. Okay. So we have three questions. So Carla's question is, how do you handle inventory?
Okay. So that's my biggest struggle right now. So I did the Kickstarter for the first 2,000 dolls, which sold out within less than a year. Wow. And then I got two bank loans to be able to produce the second inventory, which is the one that I have now, for $3,000. And now I'm pretty much asking your help with the crowdfunding campaign to be to do more inventory.
But where do you keep it, I think, is her question. Like, where do you keep stuff? Like, do you have a 3PL?
So originally, I used to keep stock at my home, and I'm not going to scan my office right now because like it's a complete mess, but believe me, there are boxes everywhere. What I did was I partnered with a warehouse in the U.S. there at Dallas, so I'm just shipping directly from China to Dallas nowadays, the stock, and they are sending directly through Dallas every time an order came in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And Joanna says, can you share a link to the crowdfunding site? We will. We'll put it in the show notes. I'll edit. I will put it also in our Toy Creators Academy Facebook group because I know that's where you are too, Joanna. So we will. Marjorie, if you happen to be in a chat area, I don't think you are, and you can send it, feel free, but I don't think you are.
Can I?
Oh, actually, hold on. Christian is helping me out in this live, he can send it. I'm going to give him the link right here. Honey, I just put the link in at number 9. If you could send that in the chat wherever you're watching, thanks.
Okay. Thank helping. You, honey. We love you.
We love them. Okay. And Erica says something too. Erica says, health is such an important topic in the industry and one that affects me personally. Everybody says we need to think about it, but it seems like no one wants to actually do the talking. Thank you, MJ, for authentically sharing your story with us.
Oh. It's been a pleasure. And I agree. We need to talk more about this. I'm a strong advocate on how to actually to talk about this because it affects everybody, especially I think after the pandemic, and this is one of the positive things of the pandemic, the taboo behind mental health, it's slowly coming down and people are like more willing to share what's happening. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But whenever you need, I don't know, just to vent or something, you can always reach me out like on LinkedIn, on Instagram. It's MJ Spitalnik, just I'm happy to vent with you. I think it's super important to share the experiences that we have and to have like a support group before yeah. we go live it. That's
seriously, I feel, and also it's like people don't realize, like people like us who you might see in the background, you're like, wow, they've achieved so much success so much quickly. It's because we're like very extreme people. Like we work really hard. And so when things go wrong, we get a little upset. So like it doesn't come without
cost. We got really upset.
It doesn't come without cost. This kind of passion and focus does not come without like the emotional toll that it takes on
And
you.
We are like, another thing that I would say is learn sooner than later to like celebrate the victories, like the small victories. That's something that I was never able to do.
Same.
Because I'm so demanding with myself. And I always think that I'm not done, like, I haven't done enough yet. So I keep pushing.
Until
some point I just, like, collapse. Mm-hmm. Either I get a migraine or I just, like, fell ill. Or I just literally collapse and start crying my eyes out on a meeting. Try to not do that. And try to actually learn how to celebrate the little things. Like, for me, it's very hard to acknowledge what I've done until I am with somebody, like, right now, sharing everything that we've been doing since the beginning of Little Rebels. Like, I'm talking with you guys while my dogs are actually going to Macy's. And I'm like, Macy's.
That's
insane. And
that's
I don't
really
even
cool.
stop to celebrate that.
No.
So celebrate the wins.
So I'm going to add to that. Because I got some really good advice in my circle of course creators that says, like, set your goals for, like, your next big launch or whatever. But set, like, smaller goals within that bigger goal. So say your bigger goal was to land in Macy's. Your smaller goal would be to ship the product. Your smaller goal would be to go visit a store and see it, or some smaller goals. And set rewards for those smaller goals. So, like, when it ships, I'm going to take myself out for dinner, or I'm going to have a girls' night, or I'm going to do whatever. When I go to stores to see it, I'm going to buy myself a bracelet. Something like that. And it forces you to not have to reach like some astronomical achievement, just to like give yourself some joy and some grace. So
that's actually an excellent advice. And I see Amanda in the chat saying inspirational stuff on YouTube.
Pop her up.
Great part of this is thanks to you, Amanda. So I own her so much. Well, both of you, actually. Ajel helped me a lot making Little Rebels what it is today. And I couldn't be here, actually, without the support of so many people. And I learned what you're saying about the rewards in Vegas, actually. That I was living all these amazing things. And on Vegas, I landed this amazing deal for the TV series. Mm-hmm. And we thought at the moment that we had raised money that didn't end up like that. Yeah. But at that time, I was with somebody that said to me, like, I used to, like, I love Pandora, like the brand. And I always wanted a bracelet from Pandora with, like, this toy icons on it. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, like, it's too expensive. I cannot afford it. And while in Vegas, this guy turned out to me and said, you know what? You really deserve this. Like, you've spent 3 years on it. Like, go buy yourself a bracelet. So I went to Pandora and I actually got myself a bracelet. And I was half guilty, half happy. I was like, oh my God, I got my Pandora bracelet. Oh, shoot, this is going to be like $100 less next month. That's okay. But like, I deserve it. And it's hard to actually know when you deserve something or recognize it and like just bring the reward back to you. So yeah, if you can go out for dinner, buy that Pandora bracelet, like, life is only one. Money comes and goes. And
yeah, it really does. Money comes and goes.
I see there's a,
I have another question.
There's one more question.
So did your background in advertising influence the design of your dolls? What made you go with this particular style? From Scott, fellow Toy Creators Academy person, by the way. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm pretty sure at some point it did. I don't know if like I'm completely aware of it. Like, it's not something that I learned through my advertising and I say, okay, I need to do this. But maybe like the methodology that I use when I work with the designer and the way I brief the instructions that I wanted, that's for sure. Like, know how to brief your designer
Yes.
is a much needed skill Because, yes. Like, one thing is what you have in your mind and your head, and the other thing is what you're able to actually transmit
articulate.
To the other person, mm-hmm. so the other person can actually understand what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I told him, like, I briefed him, and he came back with 4 different styles. And I was like, they need to look just like Disney princesses, because they're going to compete with Disney princesses, even though I'm like doing all the opposite of the Disney princesses. Yeah, but they need to look just like them, because
so
once
smart.
Their own shelves, even if they don't know who Amelia Earhart is, they're going to look so cute. Kids mm-hmm. will want to buy them either way. And then they will learn that that's Amelia when they download the app and they read the story and they learn more. So like the educational part comes after the purchase. Mm-hmm. But at the moment they're competing in the shelves, they need to look just like Disney princesses. Mm-hmm. And that's why also I chose the factory that I chose. Because when I was looking for factories without having any idea, by the way, of how to do this. So don't ask me. I just went on Alibaba and looked for factories.
Well, now you can join Toy Creators Academy for a vetted factory list.
Not yet.
Yeah. Not,
I learned everything I know after I already started this. Thanks to you.
I know.
So then what I did is I went online and I looked for factories that had worked with big brands. And I found this one that had Disney among their clients. And I was like, so if they're able to do Disney princesses, they are going to be able to do these plushes that look just like princesses.
Right.
And did I answer
that? No, you did. That was perfect. And his question was pretty much what made you go with that particular style? And it was such a smart choice. So many toy creators get enamored with their own idea that they forget their idea has to compete in the existing market. So something you're doing has to align with what's already there. And then you differentiate. Right. So I love you became create an opposite brand, but you made it look like it fit right in with what the market was used to and comfortable with. Genius. That's your marketing background for sure.
The background in advertising was more influential on the branding than the dolls.
OK. I agree from what you said, but so what I think influenced you is the research. Most new toy creators don't go into the research, but I think your background, you already knew how to do the research. So
probably. Yeah.
All right.
And
let's
also
get
instinct.
Well, yes, you are good at this. Let's get into our closing questions. We're coming up on the hour. You already gave us incredible advice for mental health. So I don't want to ask you a second advice question, but I do have to ask, like, what was the best piece of advice that you got throughout your entire journey as an entrepreneur? Little Rebels, Teddy Boohoo, the whole thing.
Wow. I have to be very honest on this. Okay. And the best piece of advice I think I gave it to myself.
Oh.
Because throughout all these years, nobody actually believed in what I was doing, not even with the Iwuho and not with Little Rebels. So I didn't get that many advices from people that were surrounding me, like not friends, family, up until like I was already a success. But in the beginnings, that's usually when you needed the most. Most people actually didn't came to encourage me. At one point, actually, one of my best friends looked at me with Little Rebels and she was like, you know what? You just need to stop doing this and go back to your 9-to-5 job.
Oh, no.
And of course, we're no longer friends. But only at the time, that shocked me a lot. And I was like, seriously? Like, I'm just getting started. So my best advice is actually something that I learned from Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always listen to your why. Because, and that's why I push so much with the why all the time.
What is your why?
As you're saying, empowering girls all over the world to become the next generation of female leaders. That's, and that's something that I feel at every cell of my body. Like, if I can make at least one girl become a scientist or a pilot or whatever she wants, because that's what she wants, then my job is done. And so what happens is, as you were mentioning before, like entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurial road is a roller coaster of emotions. And it's very hard to keep yourself up here all the time. Like,
no,
most likely you will be down here like most of the times. And you've been struggling and you'll be like probably opening the second bottle of wine of the day.
Yeah.
Just looking for reasons like hell. Risk of becoming an alcoholic. No, I'm kidding.
Lately, my guilty pleasure has been pecan pie. So,
well, there you go. So everybody has a guilty pleasure. But there are times that you're like, you're going to be facing situations that you have no idea how to overcome, or you're going to be having, like, in my case, that I'm dealing with China, like it's 2 a.m. in the morning and I'm still talking to the factory and I might be like super sleepy and I'm trying to handle something with the factory. So all those kind of situations that makes you want to just crawl down into a fetal position and cry, and you cannot do that.
You can't do
it. The only thing that will stop you from doing that is your why. Because if you're on this to make money, none of that will like actually matter when the time comes. Because like when things get really, really hard, the only thing that's going to keep you going is the pictures of these kids dressed up as pilots, or in your case, all the testimonials that you have from the student that joined your academy and so on. So for each one of us, it's going to be like, why are you doing this? But like the real why behind you're doing this. And not only like, I want to become like a famous brand and make a lot of money. And like, that's not a why.
You
need to find the what. And I always put this example. If somebody calls you at 4 a.m. in the morning with a problem with your company, will you wake up from the bed to answer it? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If your answer is yes, it's because you have a why behind. If your answer is I'll deal with it in the morning, it's because you don't have a why.
So the reason why I was messaging you at 2 a.m. last night and my husband had to drag me to bed, I guess I have a why.
You do have a why.
No, I have a why.
Not lucky enough. You're just not lucky enough that I was a heavy sleeper. And
oh my gosh.
I only read that this morning.
But I only messaged you because you're literally always awake. So
I know. But like, last night I was sick, so I was
it's
in bed.
Fine.
But,
it's
that
fine.
That usually doesn't happen.
You should be in bed. All right. Our last question I ask all of our guests: what toy blew your mind as a kid?
Dang it. And like blew my mind because I really loved it, or because
whatever, like you remember it for some reason. Maybe it was so weird or crazy or cool or just blew your mind.
So I've been with this like I've been playing with this entire interview actually. How do you call
it? It's a koosh ball.
It's a koosh ball. So koosh balls was one of my favorite, but I have to say the Slinky.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I could see that blowing a kid's mind.
I love the fact that I could put it in the top of the stairs, go down like playing stairs. I was like, what the hell?
Oh my gosh.
Like, it has a life on its own.
That was invented by someone outside of the toy industry too. So that's cool. Yeah, someone who didn't begin in the toy industry.
I thought he was from the toy industry.
No, he worked. What did he work for? Not NASA. He worked in like an army base or something, and he was experimenting with a bunch of materials, and he dropped a spring on the floor and it bounced, and then he was like, oh yeah,
what?
Yeah, I have to look up. I can't remember his name right now, but yeah,
nice. That one. And the other one that I used to love a lot was the the Etch-a-Sketch?
Yeah, I hated that because I couldn't do it. Etch-a-Sketch. Oh. It drove me insane. Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Like you had like a little square and then the lines would just like, I was very bad at designing anything, but it was very fun to just like roll the little thingies and then the drawing coming up. So those were my three favorite toys.
Okay, thank you. No, it's okay. We got three. That's great. Well, Marjorie, today's conversation was incredible. I am so happy to finally get you on the podcast and look at the presentation we did. This is amazing.
I love this.
Oh, my God.
Your very first live?
Yes. We've done a kind of test lives, but this is like a legit production today. So thank you so much for coming on here, having an important conversation around mental health. I know that once we air this episode, even more people are going to engage with it. Where can people learn more about Little Rebels, and where can they reach out to you if they need to talk to you?
So they can go to wearelittlerebels.com or We Are Little Rebels on social media. And then to reach out to me, just look for MJ Spitalnik on Instagram and Facebook. And then I think I'm as Marjorie Spitalnik on LinkedIn. Just text me or whatever. I'm more than happy to answer all your questions and help whatever way I can.
Yes, Marjorie's awesome.
There you have it. That was my interview with the amazing Marjorie Spitalnick, founder and CEO of Little Rebels. As we wrap up today's episode, I want to focus on a conclusion that addresses mental health. Creating a toy or game product on your own is absolutely no easy task. The road of entrepreneurship, whether you're making a toy product or providing a service in the toy industry, whatever path of entrepreneurship you're on is a roller coaster. So I hope that this episode, this talk with Marjorie, allowed you to see that you're not alone if you're feeling the ups and downs of that roller coaster. And remember what Marjorie said. You're likely going to spend a lot of time in the down position on that roller coaster, but what's going to help you keep moving forward is your why. So if you don't have a clear why for your toy business, whether it's a product or a service, I want you to get working on that this week. What is going to pick you up, dust you off, and keep you focused even when that roller coaster has a sudden drop? Why are you creating the product you're creating? To grab all of the links mentioned in today's episode, including the website, wearelittlerebels.com, the link to where you can buy Little Rebels on walmart.com, the link to support their crowdfunding campaign, which at the time this episode airs is still live, so you can still support Little Rebels. And to get Marjorie's info, to contact her, head over to thetoycoach.com/151. All of the links you need will be waiting for you there. Plus, we've got a link to the video recording of this podcast waiting for you there as well. So if you want to see some of the cool things we were pointing out and mentioning while we were chatting in this episode, and you're listening to the podcast wondering what we're talking about, well, head over to thetoycoach.com/151 and look for a link to our YouTube channel. It will also be in the mentioned in this episode area. If you want to skip all that, you want to head right on over to YouTube, go for it. It's just youtube.com/thetoycoach, and then you want to hit the tab that says live, and you'll see all of the past recordings, and if there's an upcoming live podcast recording, you'll see it there, and you can be notified when it goes live. If you love this podcast, but you haven't already left us a review, what are you waiting for? Your reviews mean so much to me. They keep me motivated to keep coming back week after week. So wherever you are listening to this podcast, please leave us an amazing review. They come to my phone and it puts a huge smile on my face when I see them come through. As always, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. I know there are a ton of podcasts out there, so it truly means the world to me that you keep tuning into this one. Until next week, I'll see you later, toy people.
Thanks for listening to Making It in the Toy Industry podcast with Ajel Wade. Head over to thetoycoach.com for more information, tips, and advice.
Hey, are you an aspiring toy inventor or toy entrepreneur? Then you should check out Toy Creators Academy, the first of its kind online program designed to help you develop and pitch your toy ideas. Head over to toycreatorsacademy.com to learn more.